I agree with all of what they've said, which is why we substituted the House bill yesterday. I want to clarify, this does not prohibit local municipalities from providing incentives anymore. We got rid of that. That no longer, it was true in the earlier Senate bill, but the bill we're contemplating today still allows local preferences.
So this is a bill that's gotten not a lot of attention, but Commissioner Underhill had brought up in the county commission meeting, and the basic gist of it was they were going to make it so you couldn't receive state funding for projects in which you'd use a majority of state funding to do the project if you had any kind of a local preference as a requirement for the work being done. And since, you know, Escambia, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, everybody's on board with this kind of covenant with the community concept, this looked like a problem. Well, they've changed it now so that you just can't prohibit out-of-town folks from applying here, and otherwise you can still have a local preference. Since the mayor, Grover Robinson, is always irked, I would say is an accurate description of his attitude towards preemption bills in the legislature, I have to assume he's happy with this development. Am I right, Mr. Mayor?
No, I am. Andrew, I am trying to prepare for your mysterious ways as we enter, listen to the music coming in. So, yes, I was wondering where this was going because I had not been thinking about this bill. But, yes, I'm not a big fan of preemption. I've spent my whole public life in local office, and I feel like local government has rules. They have a charter. They have all this power they derive from the state constitution. Why would the legislature go and take it away? Why would we want to run all of our cities and counties from Tallahassee? It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
Andrew Jackson was smart enough to figure that out in 1821. Why, 200 years later, do we want to reverse the whole trend? So anyways, yes, I do not like preemptions. I mean, if they've done this, then people can already do that. There's no reason for the legislation. It's just
right.
Like we're arguing just to have pass something.
Yeah, it's significantly watered down from its original starting point. I think at this point, it's a let's just do something.
Why
kind
do
of
we
bill.
Even need it?
Yeah,
why,
right. I mean, in why, the beginning, I understood what they were trying to accomplish. Now, I'm not too sure. Hey, tonight you guys are going to have the interview process. The three chiefs of police candidates are going to come and talk. Booker Hodges, John Ortolano, and Eric Randall. This is you interviewing them, right? Is that how this is going to work? Along with the questions being asked?
No. This is. I will be conducting my interviews tomorrow. I will meet all of them today and have
okay.
a chance to spend about 30 minutes. That's only on personal. We're not going to be asking any other questions. It's just kind of get to know you. Hey, tell me a little bit about yourself today. Tonight's question, I'm not running. I believe Ted Kircher or somebody from HR is going to be doing that.
Okay.
But again, the questions, there were some of the questions that had come out from some of the other stuff, and then we have some questions from the public,
right?
And they will be answering, and all of it will be done virtually.
So,
but you can watch it. Anybody can
right,
watch
and
it.
I'm looking forward to that, and looking forward to hear what you think of them after you've actually met with them personally. One of the kind of the ongoing questions, I'm just trying to wrap my brain around this whole process, and I've been frustrated about this, and you and I have disagreed about some aspects of it. Can you just clarify one part that I still do not have clarity on? The decision to begin way back at the beginning with a nationwide search, you came up with that decision. HR told you to do that. Cedric Alexander told you to do that. How did that decision happen?
We discussed that. I think Ted Kircher and Keith were interested in pursuing that area. They had in fact they knew Tommy was leaving before I knew Tommy. They had come to me. I didn't find out Tommy was leaving until, let's put it this way. I'm generally, if it's internal, I'm generally the last person to know what's happening at the city. So both Keith and Ted knew about it long before I did. So when they came to me, they were wanting to go this direction. I know a long time ago, even Chris Holly wanted to do this. Now we thought we did some of this in getting the assistant. When we went through that process and getting the assistance, that was kind of what we did. I mean, but we thought we had a significant amount of time to develop, Kevin and move in that direction. It obviously went a significantly shorter amount of time. And again, I absolutely love Tommy and everything. I wished him, I knew what he was making the right decision for him. The only comment I ever made to Tommy after he left and saying one thing was, I wish you had just told me this, because it would change the way we probably would have done. We probably would not have gone. If you want to go all the way back to the search of the deputy chief, we might have done things a little bit differently. That was when Chris was leaving. He wanted us to get a backup. I think it's a great thing to do. We've done it in other departments, and it's a great thing to do. We probably would have gone a little bit differently if we had known a little bit more directly where Tommy was going. But listen, I have no problems with where Tommy went and what he did. He did the right thing for him, and he needs to do that. And
so,
we
so
appreciate
just to clarify, one thing, you said Ted Kircher with HR, and you said Keith Wilkins,
yeah.
Of course, your city administrator.
Yeah.
Was Cedric Alexander involved in that conversation at all?
They talked to Cedric, I guess. You'd have to talk to them.
Okay.
I was not involved in that. At the time, Cedric was obviously doing work for the police department and was talking with them. This is before. I mean, we did this before. I'm looking back as far as we've been dealing with Cedric since we've been dealing with the CPAC. So, and he'd been doing the HR planning. He'd worked with Ted. So I can't. You'd have to talk to them about what exactly happened, but they both knew probably 2 or 3 days before I knew that Tommy was leaving.
Well, and I did want to give you a second, because I know Davis and I, when you said your comment a moment ago about how you're the last person in the city to find out about stuff that's going on in the city, I thought maybe you wanted to clarify that, because that may have came out a little bit sloppy.
it's just sometimes the way things are internally in any organization. I don't know what it is. People generally, when it's bad news and stuff's happening, Tommy didn't turn in his resignation to me. Tommy turned his resignation into Keith and HR.
Mm-hmm.
I will say from Chris, we did have a policy of dealing with internal stuff through the administrator. We just kind of, Chris always wanted to run the internal. But these are the things that kind of end up happening like that. Usually, sometimes if it's bad news and other stuff people don't want to hear, I end up being the last one to hear on those kind of things.
Okay, I see where you're going with that. Yeah, which is, in a sense, you know, these folks are running their departments, and that should be almost the way that it is. You know, Brian Cooper should find out Park stuff before you do, because that's his department. Hey, before we take a quick break, can you just make me one kind of I think I know what your answer is going to be, and that's the only reason I'm asking the question is, I know a lot of people want to just be sure that Kevin Christman doesn't get overlooked in this process, and I know you're going to meet with these folks today.
Kevin does not get overlooked, and I've been clear with y'all at the press conferences in
good.
The sense that I've said, listen, this person has to the idea of what we're looking for is a person who will come in here and bring new ideas. That does not mean they bring everything new. There's a commitment to the people that we have here and the fact that we're trying to look for somebody to train them up and figure out how to work with them. We're not looking for somebody to bring in, their command staff and somewhere else from other places. I had a real strong talk with the lieutenants when we started this process, and I said, listen, what they said to me is, we're very concerned that this begins a position that blocks us out from any growth forward. And our whole deal is we want people to be able to grow and elevate here. So what my whole deal is, if they can't give me answers that say this today, and this is our deal, and they understand what we're coming up with, I'm not saying they can't bring anybody new, but I'm looking for like one person or whatever else if they feel like they've got to do something. But I'm looking for really them to work with the group that's there and figure out how to do them. I'm
all
very
right.
clear
well,
that
and
Kevin
I,
is
that's
gonna
good.
Be deputy
and that's good. And I know we have a preference to hire local, which is that's part of the reason why I kind of like anyway. But hey, Mr. Mayor,
yeah,
hang on through for just a second.
Go ahead.
You can finish.
If they can't have Kevin as a deputy chief, then we'll move on to the next candidate. I mean,
okay.
These are things that I need to ask them. They need to answer. And if they can't answer the way I want them, then we move on to the next candidate.
All right. Well, these are all, as I said, movements in the right direction. I appreciate that. City Council and you, okay, extended the moratorium on moving the people out of that homeless camp underneath I-110. I know the homeless problem is a very challenging, multifaceted problem, and it's not just one group of people. I think the question people might have, I know I have, is that going to become some kind of a semi-permanent camp now, or are there other locations aside from a facility, aside from tiny homes, that we'd be looking at to create a space where they could camp on public land? How do we solve that problem?
I think what we're looking at is, I've tried to be very clear. Nothing the council did in the resolution is necessarily what we're continuing to administer the way we've done. We're not going to allow people to park illegally, have illegal vehicles or anything else. I appreciate that in their resolution. It's very clear. Thank you for making that your resolution. That's not what we're doing. Our whole goal is to work within what we can. We want to give people a place that they need to be if they need to be outside. We are working to try to get everybody inside. That's the goal and objective. There are a number of places in the community. If you talk with, you might want to get somebody on from Bright Bridges and discuss what they're trying to do. You certainly may want to get somebody on from REAP. I know Benny Wibbs and Rick Guy, and they're trying to open back up the Salvation Army place. This group that we've got in the coalition, you really may want to get John Johnson or Connie Bookman on.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working to work with them to get this group together. They obtain funding, and they're going to try to get some of these shelters back open. So the whole idea is get shelters open, get the people moved from there, and then turn it back to a park. I've been very clear. Parks are parks. They're important. We need to get them back open for the public to be able to use. We are using them in this temporary way, and until we get everything back open, yes, we're going to continue to work this way. But our whole goal is to get these things back open, shelters where we can begin to move people and figure out how we move them positively through a continuum to get something else. We are not going to be in the camping business. There are places like Chitose Forest. We believe those have a place. And if you want to go camp and that's ultimately your goal, then you need to go there. You don't need to go to the park. But right now, we are dealing with such a problem because we are dealing with a low inventory of shelter.
Mm-hmm.
This is a temporary need. And until we get everything back open, we're going to be experiencing this, Andrew.
Yeah, and an awful lot of that obviously driven by COVID and the restrictions that that's placed on some of the operational facilities. So, Mayor Grover Robinson, sir, always a pleasure. We look forward to talking to you next Monday at the press conference. Thanks, as always, for the time.
You take care. Thanks, Andrew.